by the end of the drama, there is such a move of God. I really have never experienced anything quite like it. We've taken it to many churches, we've taken it to the prison, even to a district function. Because everybody needs what it demonstrates.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, and starting at verse number 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
Amen.
"Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." In other words, there was a time when we were just walking according to our own dictates. We were not baptized in Jesus' name. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth," or the citizenship. We weren't a part of the citizenship of heaven, of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now,
amen,
in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Not because you're so good.
Amen.
Not because you went through a series of 12 steps.
Amen.
But because the blood of Christ was applied to you. And even though God loves everyone, he cannot get close to everyone until that cleansing blood is applied to them.
Amen.
Because he loves people, but he doesn't love sin. And when he sees us, he sees his righteousness, not ours.
Right.
And then Ephesians 1 and 4, it says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Can you imagine that God chose you long before he ever created the world?
Amen.
"That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated." Now that word is a little confusing, but if you go to the original Greek, here's what it says: to limit in advancement. In other words, he said, "Okay, I'm going to set you aside. I'm going to limit some things in your life unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will."
Amen.
"To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved."
Amen.
"In whom we have redemption." How? "Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God and each individual that's here. God, open our eyes, our hearts, our understanding, but somehow draw nigh unto us, closer than we've been before we walked into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I read about one city in America that opened a zoo that featured a human exhibit. People were put on display for a few days to illustrate how animals are kept captive for our enjoyment, and they put people in a zoo. I can think of a few people. We live in a day where animals are humanized and humans are animalized. Whales, spotted owls, and even some insects have more rights than we do as humans. But we need to be reminded of how we are God's original masterpiece. And we are supposed to be the masters of this world. God made us in his image that we would become evidence of his glory, an example of what Christ is. We are the prototype, if you will, and every day he is working on his masterpiece to show the world what he can do with something that didn't have any value.
Amen.
I didn't have any value according to the kingdom of God, but somehow he worked on me, renovated me, restored me to the place where he talked about in Ephesians, the first chapter. In 1965, the Houston Astrodome was built. It was known as the eighth wonder of the world. AstroTurf was named according to the Astrodome. People from all of the world came to see this magnificent first covered arena, if you will, for all kinds of sports. But the last sport event that was held there was 1999, and today it is empty, it is worthless, it has trash everywhere in it. It once housed refugees from the Hurricane Katrina. It was a deplorable place, even though at one point it was supposed to be so magnificent. But in February of this year, on the 12th, they approved a $105 million renovation of this place that hasn't been used since, well, 1999. To bring it back to its former glory. They plan to raise the floor and have 9 acres of underground parking in the Astrodome, but now just for festivals and conferences, not close to its former glory, but good enough. Some asked, is it worth the investment to bring it back, but not to its former glory? There are many who remember what it was like. And what they want to do is they want to experience what it was like way back then, when it was the eighth wonder of the world. Is there anyone who will pay the price to bring the church back to its former glory? The first church was the wonder of the world. People came from all over the world to experience the glory of God that was established on the day of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Ghost was moving, and there was a glory of God that everybody in the world wanted to experience. Miracles, wonders, signs, even the shadow of Peter passing by the sick healed them. Remember when that happened with Jesus? No, because Jesus said, greater things than these will happen. The shadows are getting longer now because of the time that we're living in. Yet, are there as great a miracles as there was in those glory days? In Genesis 2, God created man in his image. He could have created us in so many different ways. Amen. I've often thought the nose should be pointing up so we would get fresh air. But then I thought, well, when it rains, it wouldn't be good, you know? He created us perfectly. Amen. And he created us individually. Amen. No fingerprint, no DNA, no person is exactly alike on the face of the earth. We're individuals. He spoke everything into existence, but with man, he got his hands dirty. Genesis 2 and 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I picture that every once in a while. God kneeling down, taking the dust of the earth, forming man, and then touching the dirt with his mouth and breathing the breath of life, and suddenly man appears. But that's what happened in the upper room. A mighty rushing wind, it was the breath of God bending down and breathing his spirit within man to recreate something that he originally intended. And it wasn't just in the upper room, but the night that I was filled with the Holy Ghost, my God bent down and he breathed the breath of life into me to restore the glory of the church. We then became the masterpiece. And Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship. And that word workmanship means masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not to just sit, not to just be displayed on a shelf, but the masterpiece, this masterpiece, does something. That early church was the talk of Jerusalem and then the uttermost parts of the earth. But what about today? Have we lost the former glory? Some would like to tear it down. What was once the glory of the world. Not willing to pay the price to see the same in our generation. Or maybe some would say, well, let's renovate the church in order to accommodate the generation that we have today. Well, it's like the second temple. They tried to recreate the temple, but it was never like the temple. And folks, we need to completely restore the church to the former glory. My God has paid the price to see the restoration of his masterpiece. Amen. It's not like we have to come up with the dollars. Right. You know, we had to come up with the dollars in order to pay for this building. In fact, the mortgage is coming due this coming week. And, you know, I got a bill in the mail about a week ago, I guess it was, for $2 million. And said due by the 8th of August. And so I called the bank and I said, there's just this one problem. We don't have $2 million. So they're going to extend it maybe a little bit. Glory. Don't you lose any sleep. I'll lose sleep over it, all right? But somebody's got to pay the price, you know? Freedom isn't free. Church isn't free. If you think you can just walk in here and be a part of something that costs you nothing, you'll never experience the glory that God intended you to have. Amen. Sometimes a masterpiece can get damaged, but we have a restorer who can bring back its glory. Would you turn to Isaiah 58? Isaiah 58 and verse number 9, it says, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. And if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light shine in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old ways places. Thou shalt rise up the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Our job is to restore and build up the old places. My wife said to me this morning, she said, what happens when our generation leaves here? Will there be somebody who will still declare these things are important? Amen. Because I see it happening, the next generation is saying, these things aren't that necessary, they're not important. And all of a sudden, we've got a relic that no one wants to come to. No glory there. Oh, and then it becomes a place for festivals and conventions rather than a place for the glory of God to dwell. Revelation 21 and 5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. All things become new when my God touches it, whether for the first time
Amen.
Or somebody who was filled with the Holy Ghost 41 years ago.
Amen.
I need restoration." Amen. God sees people differently than we see people. I don't know how many times I've asked God, let me see through your eyes. Let me feel what you feel. Because if you feel just what the flesh feels, I'll tell you, you will not be a participant in the church of the glory of God. Let me ask you, would you let a murderer hold the Ten Commandments? God did. Moses. Moses murdered an Egyptian, and yet God said, I want to give you all of the law. Or say, David is a man after my own heart when he was guilty of adultery and also murder. God did. Our God is a God of second chances. He is a restorer of our souls, regardless how far we've been. You can't get far enough that God cannot restore you. He would have restored Judas. He would have restored Barabbas. But God, through the miracle of a burning bush, got the attention of Moses and said, I've got a job for you. And God, through Nathan the prophet, restored David to his former glory. Thou art the man. Oh, yes, God. Oh, if God could arrest our attention to see where we're at and where we need to be. And then there was Peter, who denied the Lord three times at probably the most vulnerable place that our God has ever been. Think of the regrets and the condemnation that he must have felt just thinking about what he did in a moment, most likely separated from the rest of his disciples, his apostles, thinking, I don't deserve. I wonder how many people don't come to church because they have done something. They feel like, I don't deserve to be in that congregation. I shouldn't be sitting here. Perhaps sitting in a corner feeling that he failed God and he would never, ever use the keys to the kingdom that God gave him in Matthew 16. And then the door swings open and Mary tells him, hey, I saw Jesus and here's what he said. He said, tell Peter and the rest of the disciples, I'm alive.
Amen.
Oh, he's restoring.
Amen.
You see, sometimes a masterpiece can get damaged. Every one of us have been damaged at one point or another. But you don't throw the masterpiece in the trash because the corner of the painting got dented. You bring it to the expert to restore it to its original glory. Some of the most valuable artwork had to have restoration because of centuries of varnish and resin and layers of dirt and grime accumulated over the years. And that's what life delivers to us. It covers us with layers built up over time, cares of life and criticisms and careless remarks and worries and stresses and things that happen to us just in the process of life. We're damaged over and over again. We are shellacked and our true colors get covered with all kinds of problems. And sometimes people don't recognize us as masterpieces, but God can see beneath all of the junk.
Amen.
It takes another kind of artist who loves the masterpiece.
Amen.
Who loves the thing that he created, to painstakingly restore the painting to its original glory. No, they weren't the original artists, but they see the value of what it really was. Under layer upon layer of years of exposure to the elements of life, Folks, we are all masterpieces, signed and numbered, one of a kind, and we have the Master's name written on each and every one of us.
Amen.
Because he has handmade us. Ugliness has touched us. People have said you're not worthy of any kind of restoration. You see, the value is still there, even though we may not look like much. Restorers of art say that the only thing that will bring back the color is to apply the appropriate solvent to the painting. And it's got to be the perfect solvent.
Amen.
Because if you use too harsh of the solvent, you destroy it. And if you use too less of a solvent, it really doesn't take off all of the layers of grime that's accumulated. 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." You notice there are some people who withdraw from the church because they're not walking in the light. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sins." What's the solvent? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That restores us, not just when we were baptized in Jesus' name, but there's a restoration process that goes on in every church service. That's why in every church service we have an altar call.
Amen.
For masterpieces that have a little bit of grime.
Amen.
God always provides a solvent that always restores his masterpiece. He gently applies his cleansing blood and anointing oil to us, but he does it through the hands of people. That's why, you know, when we have visitors that walk into the house of the Lord, somebody has to have the ministry of reconciliation. Somebody has to get to the place where they feel welcomed to the house of God.
Amen.
That's why Wednesday night when Adam Steen's family came here, I mean, there was an overwhelming response. No, they don't have truth. But here's somebody who wants to do something right for this country. And people responded, amen. Galatians 6:1 says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Like, where have you been? What's wrong with you? You're on your way to hell. No, I don't think that's the way you restore a masterpiece. Hey, do we have a steel brush here? We'll get this stuff off. You know, there is a process that we all need to be a part of, restoring and renewing.
Amen.
Would you turn to 2 Corinthians 5? And verse number 17, very familiar to most of us. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." How do you reconcile people to God without people?
That's right.
Our ministry is, give me your hand. I want to put it in the hand of God.
Amen.
I want you to know that there is a God that loves you.
Amen.
To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Would you tell them? Would you invite them? "Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. And though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, in the place of Christ, be ye reconciled to God." Amen. the ministry of reconciliation. I don't have a ministry in church. Yes, you do. You can grab somebody's hand and bring them to a place where they can be restored to God. Thank God for some people who felt that ministry in my life and in your life. Van Gogh was one of the greatest artists. His masterpieces today are priceless. Give me one Van Gogh and, well, I'm on the go, you know. Wouldn't have to worry about money ever again in my life. He started painting when he was very young, but later in life, his paintings turned dark. Success had turned him cynical, and the mood of his work turned dark with no vivid colors in his paintings anymore. But then one day, he returned to church, and he was restored by God. His paintings now took on a color of yellow, which was now... His paintings are famous for the splashes of yellow in them. Everything he painted was splashed with yellow. His most famous of all paintings was of Lazarus raised from the dead, standing in front of his own tomb. Glory to God. That's going to happen to a lot of people, folks. God was pictured in a blaze of yellow. And what he did is he painted his own face on the face of Lazarus. Because he himself was restored. Amen. And brought back to life. Amen. We could paint our own face, right, on the face of Lazarus. Because each and every one, I don't care if you've been born in the church or not, we have been restored. We've all heard preaching on the prodigal son. We have the picture of the prodigal son. If you really wanted to take the time in that picture, there are so many subtleties, angels, the sign, there's a cross in the shadows. All of these things depicting somebody who once left God and came back. When he came to himself, he started to make his way back to his father's house. His father didn't condemn him. Make a list of all his faults and failures. He welcomed him home with open arms, and this was the reason. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to have a celebration in this church. Amen. All right. I called and texted a bunch of people who I haven't seen in a long time yesterday, and I thought, I want to celebrate. Amen. I don't want to list the problems. I want to celebrate the resurrection. Amen. God said at the end of the Old Testament this in Malachi 3 and 7, even from the days of your father, ye have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. What's the solution? Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. No, you don't have to do a bunch of good works. You don't have to read the Bible three times. You don't have to, you know, give to the poor. You just need to come back to God, and God will come back to you. Some years ago, some of you will remember, I tied yellow ribbons around the two oak trees in the very front. And the purpose for that was to let everybody know that drove by the church, hey, come on, you're forgiven. We wanted people to understand that they were welcome. I checked with Mr. Google about the yellow ribbon. And it went back to the Civil War when women would wear a yellow ribbon in their hair, indicating that she was waiting for her man to come home from war. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe that's what we should do. Wear yellow ribbons to remind us that my Jesus is coming back. And we're welcoming you, Jesus. Men in the Calvary wore yellow scarves around their necks. You've probably seen that in pictures, signifying, I'm coming home. And then in 1973, Tony Orlando made famous a song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree. It's been three long years. Do you still love me? Amen. It was sung from the perspective of a man who had gone to prison for 3 years. And he wrote his family and said, I'm coming home and I'm ashamed of what I have done. I don't deserve to be restored to my family. But if for some reason you find the mercy in order to restore me, tie a yellow ribbon in that big old tree where the train goes by. But if I don't see it, I just won't get off. I'll just keep going. And so that's the case. He was on the train. He told some people on the train what he said, and he didn't want to look. But the whole train started looking out the window, and what they saw was hundreds of yellow ribbons. There was a family who would restore and love someone that failed. What about today? How many have been here and for some reason they're gone? They don't feel like I can be restored. Could we welcome and restore in the spirit of meekness and the spirit of love? Do we have enough love for people that used to be here, or even for people that have never been here? Say, would you come? God's waiting for us with open arms. And there may be somebody here this morning that needs restoration, amen, approval,
right,
God's love.
Amen.
His arms to wrap around you and say, it's okay.
Amen.
I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to restore.
Amen.
Amen. There's not one of us that don't need the arms of God wrapped around us from time to time and say, okay, I know what you're feeling. You're feeling conviction and condemnation. But you know what? I created you a masterpiece. And I want you to be the glory of what you were created. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe tonight is going to be the culmination of it. A wounded soldier that people care enough about to bring them back to health. When we were building this building in 1994, our first sanctuary, God was so direct with me. And in fact, God talked to Brother Shadi at the same time and said, this place is going to be a hospital for those who are spiritually wounded. And many of you who are here have had restoration because of hurts that you've had over the years. The hospital is still here, folks. The ER is still here. Amen. I wish there was no need for hospitals, but I'll tell you, when somebody has a desperate situation, it's good to know that there's an emergency room for them. Amen. Glory to God. I've been awakened from time to time at midnight with phone calls saying, Pastor, I've got somebody who wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I've gotten out of bed and come down and we baptize them in Jesus' name. Why? Because it is an emergency. An emergency restoration. An emergency putting life back, becoming the glory that God wants them to be. Oh, can't you wait until the morning? No, you don't know what the morning will bring.
Right.
People could change their mind, or people might, in the middle of the night, just pass away.
Right.
But I'm glad there's a God that's standing ready with open arms to receive and to restore everybody who wants to be restored. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Some might say it's too late. No, it's never too late. Talk to Ezekiel about that. See those bones? Do you think I can restore them? Well, you know, Lord. Shows you the lack of faith in a prophet. Well, you know, Lord. Is there anything impossible for our God? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This morning, don't just come to be restored for yourself, but pray for somebody else to be restored as well.